active military theaters, let me bring it to the theater of American domestic politics, which this week has been genuinely extraordinary. The Missouri story: Thomas Ross, a Republican candidate who won a primary by 33 votes, has been charged with directing his campaign manager to plant cocaine and Adderall on his opponent. 33 votes. This man won by 33 votes and allegedly decided that wasn't secure enough, or perhaps the plot predated the result and orchestrated a drug plant. This is not a metaphor for something larger. It is simply what it is. A candidate who allegedly committed a serious crime against a political opponent in a race so close that every vote mattered.
The 33-vote margin is the detail that makes this story feel almost Shakespearean. And it raises a real question about what the pressure of hyper-competitive local primaries does to candidates. We talk a lot about national-level political dysfunction, but the intensity has clearly filtered all the way down to state legislative races, where the margins are razor thin, and the consequences for losing are local but deeply personal.
Tucker Carlson breaking with Trump to praise a Democrat in the Michigan Senate race is a different kind of political rupture. Carlson has been one of the most influential voices in conservative media, and when he publicly diverges from Trump on a Senate race, specifically praising a Democrat, the implications for MAGA coalition cohesion are real. The Michigan race is competitive, and Carlson's audience is exactly the voter pool Republicans need. This is not a trivial defection.
Cruz's report that Trump erupted over Musk's Epstein-related social media post is another thread in the fraying of the Trump-Musk alliance. We've been watching this relationship strain for months, and what's interesting is that it's playing out publicly, through Ted Cruz of all people, who seems to be positioning himself as a narrator of White House dynamics. The Epstein content is politically toxic because it connects to conspiracy theories that Trump's team wants no part of, while Musk's base on X actively cultivates that territory. Those two constituencies are increasingly incompatible.
Speaker Johnson canceling the final House votes of September is being framed as midterm strategy, keeping members in their districts during campaign season, but the practical effect is that Congress will do essentially nothing legislative between now and the election. That's a choice with real policy consequences. There are outstanding appropriations decisions, the student visa cap that a federal judge may block before September 15th, and ongoing questions about Social Security financing. Clearing the calendar sounds procedural, it's actually a decision to defer governing.
The Social Security story is substantively important and underreported. Some Republicans are now openly warming to the idea of raising the payroll tax cap on high earners, meaning income above $168,600 would also be subject to the Social Security tax, rather than being exempt. This is ideologically significant because for decades, the Republican position has been that any revenue increase for Social Security is off the table. The fact that this is being discussed out loud suggests that the fiscal math of the program is finally forcing a realignment. The trust fund depletion timeline, projected around 2033, is close enough now that it concentrates minds.
The Virginia Democrat claiming the FBI wiretapped his calls with a state senator is a story I want to flag without overinterpreting. Surveillance allegations from elected officials are serious but also strategically deployed. The key question, which we don't have the answer to yet, is whether there was a valid legal basis for that surveillance and whether the politician was the target or an incidental contact of an investigation. The DOJ firing the prosecutor who objected to scaling back civil rights charges against an ICE agent in Minneapolis is in a similar category. These stories speak to the health of institutional independence in law enforcement, and the trend line over the past 18 months has been concerning.
The DeSantis story, mocking hecklers at a Tampa forum amid the ongoing Hope Florida scandal, and the White House launching arcade. GOV with MAGA-themed games are, in their own way, diagnostic. Both reflect an approach to politics that prioritizes performance and cultural signal over policy substance. Arcade. GOV is genuinely strange as a federal government initiative, and the question of whether it accomplishes anything beyond generating headlines is worth asking.